What did you do today? That is a question that invariably, whenever I talk with my mom every evening along with my two kids, that's the question that invariably will be asked to my grandma, to my mom. So usually every evening around 8:30, 9 o'clock or so, I call my mom, and the kids love to talk with her too. And there's two questions that they usually ask. The first one is, well, they vary in sequence. But the one is, what did you do today? And then the other one is, what did you eat today? Okay, those are the two questions that they must ask my mom, their grandma. And so, what did you do today? Well, for my mom or for me or for you, to recount what we did today, that may not be too difficult. Although sometimes we get to the end of the day and we wonder, well, what did I do today? There's been so much that has gone on, and it's all a fog. You know, what did I do today? Or maybe even more difficult is the question, what did you have for breakfast, lunch, and supper? You get toward the end of the day, what did I eat for lunch? You know? Sometimes it's hard to remember that. So it's perhaps not all that difficult, although sometimes it is, to recount what you did, the major highlights of your day. Now imagine with me, you're sitting across the table from a friend that you haven't talked with for a week or two, and you try to sum up what you did for the past couple of weeks. Okay, these are the main tasks that I've been focused on. I did this, and I did this, and this is what I've been working toward. This is what has been taking up my time the past couple of weeks. Or maybe you've been separated from this friend for a year, and you try to recount to that friend of yours, this is what I've been doing for the last year, and you try to pick out what 5 or 10 main things that you've been doing the past year or so. Well, as we think about what we have done the past year or two, and we evaluate what we've done, you know, if I ask you, well, what have you done? What have you been up to the past month, the past year, the past 5 years? And you think about what you've done, are you glad that you spent your time and your energy doing these things? Or do you have some regrets? Would you say that the 5 or 10 activities, or maybe more, the things that you've been focusing on, are they beneficial to others or not so much? And maybe we don't evaluate our lives all that often like this, but I think it is important for us, it's helpful for us, to look back, whether it's over the day, over the week, over the year, what have I poured my energy into? What have I been working toward? And is that a good use of my energy and my time? Is it beneficial to myself? Is it beneficial to others? You know, are these things that I've been focusing on, are they giving glory to God? Well, this morning I don't want to focus so much on ourselves, although we do want to focus on ourselves. But the main focus of ourselves this morning, our focus is going to be on our Lord Jesus Christ. And do you realize as we open our Bibles that we are told in the Scriptures what Jesus did while he was on this earth? And this morning we are going to go to one passage in particular that provides us with what we could call a snapshot of Jesus' ministry while he was here on this earth. And I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4 in verses 23 through 25. Matthew chapter 4 in verses 23 through 25. During the days of Jesus' public ministry, you might wonder, well, how did Jesus spend his time? With what activities were his days filled? What impact did he have on others? And we find the answers to these questions in these three verses, Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. And filling in the context here, what happened before these verses, we realize that after Jesus had moved from where he was at to the region of Galilee, after he moved from his childhood home of Nazareth, he moved to Capernaum. And it was there at Capernaum that he began to preach a message that in essence could be summed up by like this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus for a time would have proclaimed that message of repentance, this message that is alerting people the kingdom of God is very near. He would have preached that message initially by himself. But it wasn't very long, I don't believe, before he went out to recruit others to join him in proclaiming this message, a message of repentance, a message proclaiming that God's kingdom is very soon and coming. So here is Jesus. He's settled down in Capernaum, which is on the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee. And I have a map here, and we'll use this map a little bit later on. But you see the Sea of Galilee there, and on the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee would be the city of Capernaum. And as Jesus was walking alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw no doubt any number of people, because there was quite a few fish in the Sea of Galilee and quite a few fishermen. But as he was walking along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he spotted two men, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And he called out to them and he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. Going a little bit further down the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two other fishermen. These men were named James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. And these two he also called. And they left their boat, and they left their father, and they followed Jesus. And it's in this context that we read our passage in Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. And Jesus went about all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went all throughout Syria, and they brought unto him sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. So do you see how Matthew here, in just these few verses, Matthew summarizes the activity and the impact of Jesus as he went throughout the region of Galilee? If we used three verbs to describe Jesus' activities, what verbs would we use? We'd use the words teach and preach and heal. Teach and preach and heal. Now, looking earlier at verses 12 and 13 of our chapter, we read that Jesus departed into Galilee and he dwelt in Capernaum. And he began to preach a message, the message of repentance, the message of the coming kingdom of heaven. And if Matthew said no more than this, we might think, well, Jesus was preaching that message only in the city of Capernaum. That's where he stayed put. He was focused on spending all of his time in Capernaum preaching that message. And Capernaum would have been a sizable city. And there would have been more than enough people to reach in Capernaum for any amount of time. But as Matthew tells us in our current passage, Jesus did not stay just in Capernaum preaching this message. He went all throughout Galilee. Now, Jesus did spend some time in Capernaum. There's no doubt about that. He preached there. He did incredible miracles there. But he didn't stay in Capernaum. He went all throughout Galilee, teaching and preaching and healing. Now, we think of the region of Galilee. It was a relatively small area. It was about 70 miles by 40 miles. That's the basic dimensions. But yet in this relatively small area, there are some 204 towns, with each town having a population of about 15,000 or more. And I get that information from the ancient historian Josephus. Now, we realize that Josephus was not inspired of God, and so we can't trust with absolute certainty everything that Josephus says. But considering what he says, and he lived during this time period, Josephus talks about a lot of cities in this small region of Galilee, and cities that had a sizable population. So when you think about Jesus going all throughout Galilee, don't be thinking of Jesus wandering through the wilderness. He would have gone from city to city to city, and then after that, even to more cities. There were a lot of people to reach in Galilee. It was throughout that region of Galilee with its many cities that Jesus traveled. And it was here that he went from city to city, and in the cities there were synagogues. And Jesus taught in those synagogues. Now, what is the importance of the synagogue to the Jewish people? Well, it was their gathering place. We think about churches today, it's the gathering places of believers, right? We oftentimes call a building the church, right? But keep in mind, it's the people that is the church. Well, in the Jewish days that Jesus lived in, the Jewish assemblies, the assembly could be called a synagogue, but then also the building that they met in could be called the synagogue. It's a gathering of people. And so here in Jesus' day, he would have gone to the synagogues, to the buildings where the Jews met. And there in the synagogues, there'd be an emphasis on God's law, specifically the five books of Moses. We have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So the law would have been taught to the people during the meetings of the synagogues. The law would have been read. There would have been a preacher or a teacher. There would have been prayers offered to God. There would have been blessings upon the people. If there was an infraction of the law, that would have been dealt with at the synagogue oftentimes as well. Now, whenever people gathered at the synagogue and there was the teaching of the word, it wasn't up to just one man all the time to teach. Any number of men in the congregation could stand up and teach or sit down and teach as the case may be. And if there was a prominent visitor that was there in the synagogue, oftentimes that visitor would be called upon to teach the people from the word. And so imagine this, Jesus visiting synagogues, and oftentimes Jesus would have been called upon to teach the people from the word of God. And Jesus would have used those opportunities to impact the people with the word. Many times he was given the opportunity. Now, as Jesus taught the word of God, as he proclaimed from the law of Moses, would he have just given shallow reflections from the word? Were his messages shallow? And not by any means were they. He wouldn't have just allegorized or read into those passages. He would have faithfully taught from the word. He would have encouraged the faithful, but he also would have challenged and convicted those who were wayward. As Jesus taught in the synagogues, people would have surely been able to discern there is a difference between Jesus and his teaching and the teaching of many other men. Jesus is different. Jesus' words demanded attention. They demanded a response. Now, if Josephus is correct in his numbering of the cities of Galilee, over 200 cities, how long would it take for Jesus to travel and visit each one of those cities? And if each of those cities had at least one synagogue, how long would it take to cover the region of Galilee and going to all the cities? And we don't know if he went to all those cities, but it would take quite a time, wouldn't it? That'd be quite the mission to go throughout Galilee to all the cities to teach there. And Jesus did indeed go to the cities and teach in the synagogues. But he wasn't just in the synagogues and that's it. There are other times when the synagogue was not meeting, having services. What did Jesus do then? And think of this, not everybody came to the synagogue to worship God. There would be many others that needed to hear the truth of God. So Jesus not only taught in the synagogues regularly, but he also, outside of the walls of the synagogue, would have preached. He would have preached the gospel of the kingdom. Now, looking at verse 17 of our chapter, Matthew chapter 4, we realize that the message that Jesus preached in Capernaum, the message that he preached all throughout Galilee, was the same message that John the Baptizer preached as he was alongside the River Jordan baptizing many people. John preached the message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now we realize that whenever John was taken into custody and John was thrown into prison, then Jesus, in essence, took over the preaching of that message. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now let's think about John the Baptizer. When he preached this message, he was in the wilderness of Judea. He was in what we'd call an unpopulated region. But did people hear his message? And the answer is yes, a lot of people heard his message. Not because John went to the people, but because the people went to John. So people from Jerusalem and the region of Judea and even beyond that came to see and hear John and his message. And many were baptized of him in the Jordan River. With Jesus, though, we have Jesus not waiting for people to come to him necessarily, although people did that as well. But Jesus went from town to town to town in Galilee, going to where the people were and preaching the message, the gospel of the kingdom. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, I'm not going to go in detail as far as that message and what it means, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I've talked about it more than once. But here for the first time we have reference to the gospel of the kingdom. Now whenever you hear that word gospel, what do you immediately think of? You think of good news related to Jesus, right? And specifically, good news related to salvation in Jesus. So if I ask you, well, have you accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ? You understand me to be talking about the good news that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, he rose again the third day, and whoever trusts in Jesus has eternal life. That's what we think of when we think of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus, when he was going from city to city in Galilee, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Well, this also is good news. Good news that was focused not just on him and salvation in him, but focused on the good news that the kingdom of God is coming. Yes, the kingdom of God is going to be set up on this earth. And that's good news. But along with that news is the message that people need to prepare for that kingdom. They need to turn away from their sin and their rebellion and their disbelief. And they need to start living for the Lord as they should. And of course, first of all, they need to trust in God. So you need to prepare yourself for that kingdom. Otherwise, if that kingdom comes and you're unprepared, then judgment will come upon you instead of blessing. Now, Jesus, as he proclaims the good news of the kingdom, of course, we realize Jesus is the king of that kingdom. He is the one that would be ruling over that whole kingdom of God on earth. But Jesus at this point in time wouldn't have given all those details. But the truth of the matter is, God's kingdom was very near. That's good news, but it's news that demanded a response. So what did Jesus do while he was going from town to town in Galilee? He was teaching in the synagogues. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But then also, what did he do? He healed. We read there in verse 23, he was healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Jesus had a burden for the spiritual needs of people. You think about the need for people to know about God and to know his word and to live for him. So we have the ministry of Jesus teaching in the synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus had a deep concern for the spiritual welfare of people, for their hearts, their spiritual hearts. But Jesus also had a burden for people as they were under the curse of sin. And you really realize all the terrible things that happened because of the curse of sin. You know, have you ever had a head cold before? Have you ever been sick with the flu? Have you ever had something even more serious than that? We could talk about any number of ailments. But do you realize that all of those are all those things that we experience because of the reality of sin in this world and the curse that is upon sin? Now, Jesus had a burden for people as they were struggling under the curse of sin. Yes, he taught them the truth so that they can be reconciled with God, but he also had compassion upon those who are struggling with various sicknesses and diseases and other maladies. He healed one after the other. Now we find out more about Jesus' healing in verse 24. Let me read for you verse 24 here. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, those that were possessed with devils and those which were lunatic and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. First of all, in verse 24, what do we read? His fame went throughout all Syria. The news of Jesus spread far and wide. Yes, Jesus was going throughout Galilee, and he would have been well known in Galilee, but not just in Galilee. Matthew talks about Syria. Now, what does he mean by this word Syria? Is it the area to the north of him? And that's what I tend to think. It's the area north of where he was in Galilee. But if Matthew was talking about the Roman province of Syria, that'd be even a larger area. But either way, Jesus is becoming very well known. His teaching, his preaching, but especially his healing, news of these things spread far and wide, and people were coming to him because of the fact that Jesus was someone who was able to help people with their needs. Jesus was becoming very famous. So of all of the activities of Jesus, his teaching and his preaching and his healing, it was the healing that caught people's attention most of all. I think you can understand why. You know, we ourselves have been sick before, right? We ourselves have known people, whether in our own family or friends or neighbors, that have gotten seriously sick. Okay, they've gotten diseases of one sort or another, or maybe they have some sort of injury that can't be fixed by the doctors. And our heart goes out to these people, right? We want them to get better. But we understand doctors can't always fix people, right? They can do a lot, but not everything can be fixed. So if there is somebody that we deeply care about, what do we want to do? We want to get them help. And in Jesus' day, there were people that they were sick. They had various afflictions. And especially the family members and the friends of these people wanted to give them help. And whenever they hear about Jesus, this man who is healing, who's causing the blind to see, the lame to walk, he's alleviating great afflictions of people. What are you going to do? You're going to seek him out. Maybe Jesus can help my loved one. And that's what people did all throughout Syria. Jesus was becoming very well known. And what did people do? They brought unto him all sick people that were taken with all sorts of diseases, all sorts of afflictions. Those who were afflicted with severe pain and various illnesses. So sometimes the affliction was because they were ill with one thing or another. Sometimes they were afflicted not with just what we call physical ailments, but because they were tormented by a demon. That's why some people were taken to Jesus. Others were brought to Jesus because they were afflicted by seizures. Others were brought to Jesus because they couldn't walk, they were lame. And how many others were brought to Jesus because of one sort of malady or another? You know, some may have had a hand that didn't work. Maybe it was that way since birth. Maybe there was an injury. But that one was brought to Jesus. All these people brought to Jesus probably had no hope of cure by natural means. That's why they were brought to Jesus by their friends and their family. Perhaps some of them came on their own. But you notice what it says there in verse 24. They brought unto him all sick people that were taken with various diseases and ailments. How many people were brought to Jesus? How many do you think? Just 10 or 20? Hundreds? You think it was more than hundreds? Maybe even thousands? Yes, Jesus at the end of the day. Well, what did you do today? You know, well, I've been teaching in this synagogue. I've been outside preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And you know what? There were many, many people that came to me to be healed. Can you imagine how full Jesus' days were? How full his months were? How full years of ministry were, teaching and preaching and healing? What impact Jesus had on people, their spiritual needs, their physical needs, he impacted so many hurting people. Now we could go later in the Gospel of Matthew and we could read specific instances where Jesus healed this one or that one, and we'll look at those later on. But the reports of Jesus' work spread far and wide. Many came to Jesus to be healed. But we also realize as we come to verse 25, there are many who heard about Jesus and they came to him and they followed him. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. So yes, Jesus was known in Syria, but he was well known even beyond that area. People from all over knew about Jesus. So it doesn't surprise us as we read in verse 25, there are a lot of people that came and followed him from Galilee, because he was going all throughout Galilee teaching and preaching and healing. But then what do we read? Not only were there multitudes following him from Galilee, but there were multitudes following him from Decapolis. Now, do you know where Decapolis is? Do you even know what Decapolis really stands for? Well, you look at the map here, and in the red printing, you see the word Decapolis. Originally, it referred to a grouping of 10 cities. Okay, the Decapolis, the 10 cities. Okay, you think of, in our background, you think of the Twin Cities, right? Where's that at? It's in Minnesota, right? Up north. Well, here it's not the Twin Cities, it's not the two cities, it's the 10 cities, the Decapolis. In the 10 cities, you know, they would have changed over time, no doubt. But at one time it went as far as Damascus. You see at the very top of the map, Damascus. It would go all the way down to Philadelphia. Okay, so you'd have 10 cities located in that region. It's a large region. It's not like just a cluster of cities like we have the Des Moines Metro, where they're all joined together, border upon border, or city limit to city limit. No, they would be spread out. So people came and followed Jesus, not from just Galilee, on the western side of the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan, you know, not just on the west, but also on the east from the Decapolis. People were coming to follow Jesus. And then we have further south, you have Jerusalem, which is the center of everything. You have from all Judea. You have from beyond Jordan. So how many people were following Jesus? From where were they following Jesus? From all over. This is the impact that Jesus was having on people. Now, why did these people come to follow Jesus? Now, there are some, no doubt, that came to see Jesus and follow him because they knew he was different. They had heard about his teaching, and they probably came to hear his teaching and his preaching. And they wanted to be a follower of Jesus because they were seeking God. They were wanting something better for their lives. They wanted to become Jesus' true follower. That's why some came to follow Jesus. But there are others that were just interested. They were curious. They had heard about Jesus, this healer, this one that was preaching, and they wanted to come and see him. They wanted to see Jesus do these great miracles. Now, who wouldn't want to see somebody give a blind man sight? Who wouldn't want to see somebody cause a lame man get up and walk, right? Who wouldn't want to see that? So there were a number of people that just wanted to come and follow Jesus to see the great things that he would do, to hear his incredible messages. But many of these people who came to follow Jesus from all over were not committed followers of Jesus. We could go to the Gospel of John, chapter 2, and we read that many believed in Jesus because they saw the miracles which he did. But yet Jesus did not commit himself to these ones because Jesus knew what men were like, what people were like. He knew the heart of men and the fickleness of the heart of men. Jesus knew that not everybody who followed him were his genuine disciples. Now, Matthew records that many from near and far followed Jesus. Don't have in your mind that Jesus now has thousands of followers like James and John, Peter and Andrew. Because not all those who followed Jesus were committed disciples. There are a number of them that were just following Jesus, but they were not wholehearted in their commitment to him. But yet they followed him. Now Jesus, what did he do during his day? He taught, he preached, he healed. Okay. What did he do during his week? You could say much the same thing, right? What did he do for the month, for the year? For a number of years, some 3 years or more, this is what Jesus did. Now, of course, he did other things as well. But if you'd sum up Jesus' ministry, you could sum it up with those words. He taught in the synagogues. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He healed so many different people. Did Jesus have an impact? He had a huge impact. Keeping in mind, the greatest impact is yet to come, when Jesus would die and rise again. But Jesus had a huge impact. You think about how he met spiritual needs with his teaching and preaching, how he met physical needs with his healing. He displayed great wisdom and power and authority. And for those who had eyes to actually see, those who had ears to actually hear, they recognized Jesus as the King, as the Messiah, as the Son of God. Now, as we continue through the Gospel of Matthew, we will find Jesus' teaching in more detailed presentation. So what do we find in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7? We oftentimes call it the Sermon on the Mount. There is Jesus' teaching laid out for us. We continue reading in Matthew, and we'll read accounts of his preaching, no doubt, of his healing. But as we consider what Jesus did. We ask him, well, what have you been up to? Well, I've been teaching and I've been preaching and I've been healing. I've been doing my Father's will. I've been doing my Father's work. And as I've been faithful to the Father, Jesus could say, many people have been impacted for good. So with these three verses, we have a snapshot of Jesus' ministry. Now we continue reading and we find much more detail. So how many lives were impacted by Jesus and what he did, his teaching, his preaching, his healing? Many, many people. And that's just during Jesus' lifetime. How many more people have been impacted by Jesus in the years to follow after his death and resurrection? We ourselves have been impacted by Jesus, haven't we? Even as we read the pages of Matthew, we are impacted by Jesus. Are you thankful for Jesus' ministry? Are you thankful that he took the time to do the Father's will, to go to those synagogues, not just in one city, but in, no doubt, hundreds of cities, perhaps? Are you thankful that he took the time to teach the Word of God in those synagogues? That he took the time to go all throughout those cities and the countryside to preach the gospel? God's kingdom is coming. Prepare yourselves. Are you thankful that Jesus had mercy upon the people and he healed them? Jesus had a far-reaching ministry. So many were blessed and challenged and convicted as Jesus interacted with people. So many were impacted. Now let's consider our own lives. Our focus so far has been on Jesus primarily, and that's where it should be. But it's good for us also to look at ourselves, right? So let's think about yesterday. I ask you, well, what did you do yesterday? You can tell me, well, I did this and that, and or I ask you, well, what have you been up to this past week or this past month? You can say, well, I've been working on this project, you know, and I can tell you I've been working on a project down in my basement, you know, and it's an ongoing project. It's taken a lot of hours. I've been working out in the yard, too. That's an ongoing project. Okay, I've been working on that. I've been working on studying and all sorts of things, too. You could tell me, you know, Joe could tell me, I've been working there with cardboard. That's what I do, 40 hours in and out, maybe more than 40 hours sometimes. You know, you can tell me all sorts of stories about cardboard. And you can tell me stories about any number of other things, too. I've been working on this or that. And we realize we have a lot of responsibilities, a lot of projects, a lot of irons in the fire, right? But we need to examine our lives. We need to focus in, what have I been working on? What have I been pouring my energies into? And am I having an impact on people? Now, yes, we understand that if we're of that age where we have to support ourselves and we have to go to work, we need to go to work, right? So there's no getting around that, really. So we need to do that. But we need to ask ourselves, with the time that we have, with the energy that we have, are we pouring ourselves into other people's lives? Are we doing what will impact them in the here and now, but also for eternity? What did Jesus do with his time? He taught, and he preached, and he healed. Well, we understand we can't do all that Jesus did. Jesus is unique, right? He is Almighty God, the incarnate Son of God. But yet we can pour our lives in people, can't we? We can impact them with what we do, with what we say. Are we pouring ourselves into people? Are we having an impact on others by the way we spend our time and our energy? What is the greatest need of people? Now, if you'd ask Jesus, well, what is the greatest need of people when you were on earth? You know, obviously, there are many needs. It was so important that those who are sick would be healed. That was so very important. But even more important than the physical body being healed is for the spiritual soul being healed, the heart receiving new life. Well, we today, we need to understand the most important need that people have is to come to know Jesus, to have eternal life, to have their sins forgiven, to become right with God. So are we taking time during our busy days and weeks and months to reach out into people's lives and tell them about Jesus? Are we taking time out of our busy days and weeks and years to pour ourselves into the lives of our fellow believers, to encourage them and lift them up? Are we having an impact? Jesus, there's no doubt, had an impact. Are we having an impact as well? It's only by God's grace. But let us have an impact on others' lives as well. Jesus was faithful. May we be faithful as well. Jesus was used greatly by God. May we be used greatly by God as well. May God use us to impact the world for his glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've shown us in your word. If we'd asked Jesus when he was here on earth, what have you been up to today? What have you been up to this week or this month or this year? He could respond by saying he was teaching and he was preaching and he was healing. So many were impacted by Jesus. And I pray that we today, we'd have a heart for people as well. And that we'd be desiring to pour into their lives so that, yes, they'd know the truth about Jesus and they'd be living for him. So help us today to learn more of Jesus, to be taught from him. We thank you for how Jesus has impacted our personal lives. And I pray that because Jesus has impacted us, then you'd use us to impact others for Jesus and your glory. So we thank you again today. Use these words in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.